The following Life Matters talkback was recorded earlier. If you'd like to contribute to the discussion, please send your emails or voice memos to lifematters@abc.net.au. Look forward to hearing from you. That's lifematters@abc.net.au.
How do you feel about getting older? Gloomy and anxious, or excited about new possibilities? It's sad that often the message we hear about aging is that it'll be painful or lonely and humiliating. And those negative attitudes can have real-world impacts. But my guest on Talkback today says there's a different way to look at aging, and one that can really help us enjoy our later years. Catherine Barrett is the founder of Celebrate Aging, a national program challenging ageism. She says the years after 60 can be a time to thrive through new social connections or physical adventures, or just a catwalk attitude to life. So we want to hear from you. What's your attitude to aging, and how has it affected your experience of getting older? Tell us your story on our Facebook page, or send us an email at lifematters@abc.net.au. And that Facebook page has some pretty interesting discussions going on it already. Catherine Barrett, hello to you.
Hello.
Now, what does it mean to have a catwalk attitude to aging? Just more sequins generally?
More sequins is always a good thing. We started, as part of the work we're doing challenging ageism, we started fashion parades against ageism. And with our models that are 65 and over, that are on the catwalk, we're inviting them to think about their catwalk attitude. And people are saying it's about being confident, and it doesn't matter what other people think of me, I think I'm fabulous, I'm having fun. And we're saying that's a catwalk attitude. And how can you take that attitude into your everyday life as a protective factor against ageism?
That's really interesting. The photos on the Celebrate Aging website have lots of arm movements and kind of swirly, fabulous motion going on. And that's, I guess, something that we don't associate with the stereotype of aging, which is a kind of closing in physically as well as perhaps socially and in other ways.
Yeah, look, absolutely, Hilary. And I think one of the things about the Royal Commission, you know, we need to have it, unfortunately. But the stories that from the Royal Commission, they take away our hope for our own futures, and they make us think that getting older is doom and gloom. And then, and people say to me, oh no, that's terrible. But then they see our models on the catwalk and they go, I want to be that person. And you see older people and the arms are waving and there's bright colours and there's flesh showing and people embodied and being themselves and having fun. And then we go, I have hope for my future and I want to be that person.
And what about the blokes? Are they all in with the feather boas?
Everyone's
as well?
There, male, female, trans and gender diverse. And in fact, last year for our Embolden Fashion Parade, we had bush blokes, and we had Ken Clark, who was the 83-year-old mayor of Wangaratta, was on the catwalk. And, you know, the crowd just went wild for them. And I think catwalk attitude is something that everybody needs.
Well, and you can have catwalk attitude with flannelette too. Tell us about that.
Well, Ken Clark and Robert Floyd in particular are community leaders from Wangaratta. There are a lot of older farmers on the land who are doing it really tough, particularly around the drought. And what they wanted to do by being on the catwalk in flannelette was say, you know, we are farmers, we are older men, and we're bloody fabulous. And so by strutting their stuff in flannelettes and just going, we are here, we are bush blokes and we are fabulous. And then their messages, if you have a look on our website, their messages to older farmers, they're really moving heart, fortifying stuff.
Yep, really, really supportive. Catherine, you believe that it's not so much the reality of ageing that's hard, it's the stories that society tells us. Can you just go through some of those stories that we might be familiar with?
Well, I think one of the things is that, you know, I mean, there are parts of ageing physically that are tough. Absolutely, that's undeniable. But the thing that is a maker or breaker is that we believe that as we get older, we are of less value. We believe we're not attractive. We believe we're genderless. We're sexualityless. We have nothing to contribute. And they are the attitudes that I think lead to anxiety and depression. They are the things that lead to social isolation and disconnection. And they're the makers or breakers. And I think if we can change those societal attitudes as we need to, we can transform that experience of physical ageing. And the work I'm doing with fashion parades in particular is saying, don't wait for the world to change, change yourself.
And that will hopefully have a flow-on effect to the world. But the Royal Commission into Aged Care has brought up some really confronting stories. What effect does it have on us as a society to see that representation of what it is to be old and what we might fear and expect ahead of us?
It's devastating. You know, I mean, nobody wants to hear the stories from the Royal Commission into Aged Care. Nobody wants to. But for people who have been accessing aged care services, they want to because they want this to be a turning point. It needs to be a turning point. And, you know, if you can unpack all of it, I think it all leads back to ageism, the lack of funding, the inappropriate policies, the inappropriate regulation of workers, the inappropriate it all comes back to ageism. Nobody wants to hear. We all want to be in a different world where we are valued as we age. Let's not wait for the world to change. Let's change ourselves. And we're going to try and do that, you know, in a dozen different ways, and one of them is through the catwalk.
What is your attitude to ageing, I wonder? Has it affected your experience of getting older? Perhaps it was a time you were looking forward to, or perhaps you weren't looking forward to it, but you found some surprises. We'd love to hear from you. If you're in New South Wales, Victoria, Tassie or the ACT, or you're listening online, you can call now 1300 22 55 76. If you're in South Australia, Queensland, the NT or WA, tell us your story on our Facebook page or send us an email at lifematters@abc.net.au.
Thanks very much for that, Hilary. Michael McKenzie here as well. And Max, hello, you're in Sydney.
I'm very well, thank you.
Good to hear. And Max, do you mind me asking how old you are now?
I've just turned 85.
Congratulations. And when did you last have a job?
I was retrenched from my major employment in 92.
Right.
But I worked in various part-time activities for about 8 years after that, but they were just to cover the cost of inflation and so on.
And Max, what were you doing?
A career job.
What were you doing before you were retrenched? I think you at 58 years old.
I was a professional engineer.
Right. And so now, how's life?
I creak a bit in various places. Basically, it's pretty good. I'm here thanks to the marvels of medical science. I've had 3 stents fitted, and I've now been fitted with a pacemaker. But in spite of that, I can still walk quite well. And in 92, I was a bit depressed after being retrenched. And I joined an organisation called the International Marching League. And it conducts walks in various countries in about a little less than 30 countries around the world.
Yeah.
And I have now walked in most of those. I've represented Australia 114 times, and I've circled the world about 27 times. And I'm not boasting. I'm simply telling you the facts.
No, hats off, Max.
And I'm probably better known than any prime minister we've ever had. In fact, I was walking with an American couple at one time, and anyway, a Japanese walker came up to them and said, "Is Max with you?" And he said, "Oh, you know Max, do you?" He said, "Everybody knows Max." Now, you know, as I said before, I'm not trying to boast about this, but what I'm putting it to you is that I hope that I have done well by Australia. I've decided that I'm going to spend all of my life savings in representing us by walking around the world. And, you know, I've walked in, I think, 27 countries. And recently I was approached by a princess from Indonesia who asked me to come to Indonesia. But I decided to decline that. I felt that the heat and the humidity and the possibility of disease and so on, and the possibility of having stuff planted in your luggage, you know.
Well, Max, can I say that at 85, if I had the chance to turn down a princess, I'll feel very, very privileged. So it's been actually lovely to hear how great things are for you. Now you've walked around the world, I think you said 27 times in total. That's Max in Sydney, Hilary.
And Jonathan's in Lismore. Jonathan, you're 71. Welcome to you.
Hello.
What's your secret?
I'm a serial caller of yours.
Oh, well, that's obviously going to keep you happy for a long time. It's keeping us happy. Is there any other tips you'd like to give people for how you feel good about getting older?
You decide to feel good.
That's that simple.
It is that simple.
So at what point did you make that decision, Jonathan?
Oh, I don't know. Years ago. The first time I did it was when I was a teenager and I was quite sickly. And there I was in bed with bronchopneumonia and a temperature of God knows what. And I just decided, I'm sick of this. I'm sick of being sick. I'm not going to do it anymore. And for decades, I didn't. That sort of blew me away.
Yeah, that's very interesting. And so your latter years, how do you spend your time, Jonathan?
I basically spend my time doing what I bloody well feel like.
That's a life goal in itself, isn't it?
Yeah.
Thanks very much for that perspective, Jonathan. We're talking to Catherine Barrett, founder of Celebrate Ageing, and we're also joined by Dr. Grant Lashkey, a GP and the lead clinical advisor for Beyond Blue. Welcome, Grant.
Hi.
Now, Grant, as the message is, as well as the message we hear, I mean, concrete things are also changing as we age, life events and such. What may make people more vulnerable to feeling low at this time?
Well, obviously, it's a time of life where there's quite a lot of losses, you know, loss of independence, loss of some of your physical capacity, sometimes your slowing of your thinking. But one of the really exciting things, which we just heard from our callers, was, as Max said, he has a tremendous sense of purpose. He really, you know, he has a reason to get up in the morning. And one thing that I notice with my patients is that's a really common theme. And the second caller, Jonathan, also made a really good point, which is his attitude, which is he just decided, I'm going to think differently about things. And it really resonates with Catherine's sense of the catwalk attitude. I love it.
It's beautiful, isn't it? I can see, you can hear the firmness of purpose in their voices when they're talking to us. But I'm wondering, Catherine, what does the research say about how some of those life events, perhaps losing people around you or illness or stopping work and removing that sense of purpose, how does that affect people's ability to enjoy life?
Well, it does have a negative impact, and the research is showing that there are real problems with loneliness and social isolation. And then on top of that, you know, compounded by we have a terrible problem of elder abuse, and particularly from within families. So all of that, I think, can contribute to an older person's sense of diminished self-worth. And then, you know, people isolating, they're not getting out and doing things. And the two previous callers, you know, were talking about choosing their attitude and getting out and participating in life. But, you know, I think for some people, they can feel overwhelmed. It's incredibly important to get out and be part of life.
So as a GP, I'd just like to say it's important to make sure that you've got everything working physically as well as it can. So attitude's great, but, you know, go along to the GP. Make sure that the mechanics are working as well as they can be, you know, joints and hearts. And I think Max said he might have had some heart procedures along the way.
I think he's had a couple of stents put in.
Yeah. And also these days, you know, make sure you're on the right medications, not too many as well. Maybe you don't need them all and they've got all sorts of side effects. So have a bit of a tune-up with your GP if you're not feeling right. Go and get a checkup.
Are people sometimes surprised, Grant, by how much of their own health they can control when they thought perhaps it was just an inevitable decline?
It's a great point. And I think we need to remember that depression and anxiety aren't normal part of aging. You know, if you're not feeling yourself and you've really become sort of very morose about things or lost your confidence to go out, don't put it down to aging. Go along to your GP, maybe get what's called a GP mental health plan and go and have a chat to a psychologist, because you can get a lot of help and it can make a huge difference to you.
If you'd like to ring in and tell us about your quality of life and your attitude to your life as you age, as we all do, we'd like to hear from you. You can either Facebook us or you can email us, lifematters@abc.net.au. Let's take some more calls. Dallas is in Dalesford in Victoria. Dallas, do you mind me asking how old you are?
I'm 83 and blessed to be reasonably healthy and mobile.
Now, what's helped you stay healthy?
The marvels of modern surgery, giving me 3 new hips, 2 knee arthroscopies, and 1 knee replacement.
I'm thinking you're a walker.
No, I've just been a farmer, a teacher, a mother of 4, and very active in the community, and therefore on my feet a lot, and working hard.
And Dallas, what is it about being 83 that you're really enjoying?
I love being old, anonymous, irrelevant, slow, incompetent, inefficient, irresponsible and unreliable. People don't expect anything of you. The problem is I've lived in this country town for 25 years and I still recognise faces but can't recall their names. So I just ask them and I'm not ashamed to do so. I have four wonderful children, 14 grandkids, and am still active in community affairs and was active recently on helping the local students on their recent climate change strike.
Dallas, I've got a feeling that even though you've called yourself incompetent, no one else thinks you are.
But they don't ask me anymore to help with it, which is great. I'm just a supporter, not a cutting-edge activist anymore, and I love that. I love that. The other thing I do want to say, Matthew, is I am content. Happy sometimes, down occasionally, and overall, content. And that is the real gift. Blessed to be that.
Dallas, it's been so lovely to hear from you. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Matthew. Bye.
So I think we underrate contentment sometimes. Grant, I want to go to you. You've worked on a project called Over Bloody 80, featuring older people talking about how full and varied their lives are. What are the kinds of things that they're saying?
Well, it was fantastic. Beyond Blue has put together a compilation of extraordinary stories of people over 80. And I must say, the people we've heard ring in already are exactly the sorts of characters who we profile. I mean, hearing Dallas and she sounds like she's got everyone hoodwinked and she sounds extremely articulate and totally on it and sounds like you're doing great work, Dallas. So this document, Over Bloody 80, it's on the Beyond Blue website. If you want to read about some fantastic stories of different farmers and people who are helping out in the community, there's some great stories.
There's a really interesting level of variation around the types of engagement in the community people have. It's not all about paid work, is it?
That's right. I think that the important thing is that people are excited about what they're doing. And it doesn't have to necessarily be walking around every country in the world, although that is fantastic. You know, I often see near my clinic where I work in the mornings, people coming out, they might be helping out at the school, and also making sure that they're keeping their mind active. So we see quite a lot of people, you know, be sitting around in the morning having a cuppa, doing the crossword, reading the newspaper, staying engaged with the sort of procession of life.
Well, we're taking your calls on your attitude to ageing and whether that's affecting your experience as you get older. Head to our Facebook page. It's a very busy place at the moment. Tell us your story there. Catherine Barrett, you have some examples from your work at Celebrate Ageing of people experiencing a great old age. What are some of the things that stand out for you?
Last year at the Embolden, which is our annual festival, we had a 93-year-old yoga instructor. And Lilia is still doing, she's teaching three yoga classes a week. She's amazing. We had Dawn Quick, who's an 86-year-old tap dance teacher. And Dawn only teaches older women who have always, you know, grew up with Shirley Temple but never had the opportunity to learn to tap. So Dawn teaches, and Dawn talks about tapping her way through life. And we also had Maria Makarides, who's a 76-year-old belly dance teacher. Now, those three women are going, well, you know, I may be over 65, I may be technically an older person, but I'm living my life, and they've found things that bring great joy to their lives and they're teaching others.
So there's that engagement as well. Let's go to Janice in Sydney. Hello, Janice.
Hi, hi.
You've got an involvement in the community too. What are you doing?
Well, I play bridge in clubs, which I enjoy very much. And my involvement in U3A is terrific. It's called University of the Third Age. There's no exams or anything. And for an annual fee, you can go to as many courses as you like. I organise a book discussion group, and I've attended poetry writing groups, and I'm on, just started one now about the international politics of Australia over the years. So I think it's a wonderful institution, and it's all voluntary. And yes, I've actually rang with a gripe about the attitude to age. On Christmas Day, I was having lunch with my daughter, and I have some allergy problems, and the waiter insisted on turning to my daughter and saying, what are her allergies? And I said, she doesn't know about my allergies. I know about my allergies. And I just would like to start a movement about, you know, about attitude to aging. It's just infuriating.
Well, Janice, can I ask, did you point out to the waiter that one of your allergies is to rudeness? Maybe for next time. Janice, thank you.
I certainly let him know that it was I who he should be. To whom he should be speaking, not
indeed.
My daughter.
Good on you. That's
thank
great.
You. Thank you.
Thanks,
Jen has actually texted in, everyone, and said, I'm 65. When I grow up, I want to be just like Dallas, who, of course, rang in earlier. She's in her 80s and is just going great guns. And she actually embraced the idea. I like that idea that she loves being anonymous because that's, of course, how the community treats older people. But she uses it as a strength rather than a weakness, which I thought was pretty cool. Let's find out what else is going on. Rosemary, you're in New South Wales and you're 75 now, if you don't mind me telling everybody across the country. what are you up to these days?
Well, as I said to you earlier, when I rang in, when I was young, it was the case that women just got married. They got a little job and got married. It was considered wrong to do anything else by my mother anyway. And I'm now getting to do all those things, and I'm doing a degree, finally.
What are you doing it in?
I'm thoroughly enjoying it.
What's the degree, Rosemary?
It's an arts degree in history and politics in Australia and Asia.
Brilliant.
So I think it's important we all be politically aware, and I hope to use it later on when I finish the degree to write in the political sphere.
All the best. How long before you think you'll graduate?
This time next year.
Oh, brilliant. Oh, well, all the best, Rosemary. Great to hear people doing that. That's fantastic.
And Gillian's in Geelong doing more things than I think I've ever done in my lifetime. Morning, Gillian.
Good morning.
What are you up to?
Well, I'm a 64-year-old underemployed academic lecturing in hospitality and tourism subjects, but I host Airbnb in my home. And Airbnb have actually done quite a lot of research on who is hosting and who are their super hosts. And women over 60 are their biggest hosts and their biggest cohort of super hosts. So what it does for me is it keeps me very fluid financially. And I get the most amazing people coming through my home who, you know, basically, you know, very interesting people. There's always sort of someone to have a conversation with. And yeah, very busy washing sheets and towels.
But it's basically a tax deduction, Gillian. It's right in your field of academic study as well.
I get to talk, you know, I can give my students some fantastic Airbnb stories.
Exactly. It feeds both ways. That's wonderful to hear. Thanks, Gillian.
Thank you.
So some fantastic stories coming out from all around Australia. Catherine, I wanted to ask you, are there lessons we can learn from other cultures about how to go forward into ageing and how to think about ageing?
Well, there are certainly lessons about how to treat older people, and I think learning from Aboriginal people is critical. And I don't know whether people know about the work of Yirrumboy Festival here in Melbourne. It's a festival that has a program of respect for elders and elders' comfort lounge, and just that idea in Aboriginal communities that elders that the needs of elders are first and foremost. I think we have a lot to learn from other cultures.
I work as a professor training doctors in China a couple of times a year, and I just got back again last week, and I was very struck by the different attitudes and really very positive attitudes to ageing, and it's really quite palpable. Even with all the technological and wealth progress, there's a real sense at a superficial level of, you know, where people sit and letting people into the room, but at a deeper level of really valuing what some of the older members of the community have to say.
And Grant, do you see a difference in people's physical health when they are more valued that way?
I do. I think that there's something very much where the older people are honoured and have this sense of a clarity of their role and an important role. And I think it's a very positive thing. I think we can learn a lot.
There's people both for and against their status in life coming through on both Facebook and text. And not everyone, of course, is having a positive experience as they get older. And someone says here, the first thing you learn when you get old is that nobody cares. If you're lonely, nobody cares. If you're depressed, nobody cares. If you can't keep up, nobody cares. So it's all in your hands. You learn resilience. And yes, you learn contentment. Writes this. So it comes to a sort of more positive conclusion there. And I'll read out more texts and Facebook later. But just quickly, Joanna, you're in South Melbourne. You started teaching yourself music at what age?
60.
At 60. And how old are you now, Joanna?
80.
How's it going?
Really well. It was a hard slog, but I used a hymn book and tunes that I recognised in the hymn book and worked out the keys on the piano, and then I bought an adult piano teaching book, and I've written two stage musicals, and I've just finished a song to commemorate the 10th bushfire anniversary, and I've submitted that for funding to the local council up at Marysville.
That is brilliant, Joanna. That is brilliant. So are you in a band or in a group?
No, I'm a solo operator, lone wolf. But I was very lucky and met Sir Tim Rice by accident at the Arts Centre in Melbourne in the year 2000. And we got chatting. I didn't even know who it was. It was a scream. And I've had tea with him at his house in England three times. And when he comes to Melbourne for the cricket, we catch up and have champagne. And it's just lovely. I've had a wonderful time since I tried teaching myself music. And I'm sort of on top of it. And I'm just about to get my bushfire song recorded.
Oh, Joanna, that's bloody brilliant. Thank you so much.
It keeps the mind very, very busy learning music. And I've met hundreds and hundreds of people as a result. So I thoroughly recommend it.
It's great. Music wakes up so many parts of the brain. Catherine.
I just want to respond to the previous caller, two callers back who were saying nobody cares. Just to let that person know, there are lots of people who care. I care. There are lots of people who care. The Royal Commission's about caring. Mm. There's this real momentum around building respect for older people. But the other thing that I want to let people
but
know.
But can I interrupt before you go on to the next point? And that is you may feel like that when you don't have local pathways you can see that are close or obvious.
Absolutely. The world is changing, but the other thing people need to know, if anyone's listening, Beyond Blue have a 24-hour hotline. I've used it before once. It is the best service, Grant.
Yeah, so Beyond Blue is very proud to make sure that there always is someone out there who cares. You can ring our phone line 24 hours a day, 1-300-22-4636, and there's also online forums and websites, and so you should never feel like you're out there all on your own. There's terrific support in Australia, and Beyond Blue and others are always there.
And just give that number one more time, Grant.
1-300-22-4636.
That's the Beyond Blue helpline. Michael in Port Macquarie's had a bit of a hard road, and, you know, as we go through life, there's lots of ups and downs. Michael, tell us how you're going.
Oh, hi. Thanks very much for taking the call. Pretty good, actually. My wife was very ill for 28 years of our 30-year marriage. She passed away about 2.5 years ago. She'd had stem cell transplants for leukemia, and she'd had lungs removed, and she was on oxygen. So about 12 years ago, I was about 46, and it dawned on me that probably it wasn't a good idea for both of us to be not well as we were ageing, and I knew that I would need to care for her as she moved towards death. So I decided to get myself active again, and after 21 years of not playing soccer, I got myself fit, started playing soccer again, and finished up playing with my two of my sons. But I also run around 10 kilometres every 2 to 3 days now. I'm just shy of 60. But I run my own business. And a couple of years ago, after Sarah, my wife, had originally said to me and hounded me to go on the bone marrow transplant, I got a phone call and I was able to donate my bone marrow and saved a US citizen about 2 years ago. So,
Michael, that must have felt amazing.
Yeah, it was fantastic. It was quite funny, actually, because when I went down to the hospital, they were doing a check on me, and the anaesthetist took my blood pressure and my heart rate, and he said, what's this 45 beats a minute? And he looked at me and I said, I run. And he said, yeah, that's obvious. So,
you're an example to us all, Michael, making me feel like I immediately need to run out and get some exercise.
But it's good for meditation as well. And, you know, they say the physical fitness and the mind are connected, and that's what it's all about for me. So I do light weights and exercise at home. And I think it just keeps you moving forward. It's great.
In more ways than one. And Grant, I'd like to get you to follow up on Michael's call. What is the number one thing you think we can do in Australia to support older people?
I really think that we need to change our attitudes. Simply, I think I really like Catherine's idea that people can internalise those sort of negative ageism views, and we need to shift our attitudes and look for the possibilities and the opportunities.
I think we're all agreed there. Catherine and Grant, thanks so much for coming in today.
Thank you.
Dr. Catherine Barrett's a researcher with over 30 years' experience working with older people. She's the founder of Celebrate Ageing. And Dr. Grant Blaschke is a GP and lead clinical advisor for Beyond Blue. Michael McKenzie will hear more feedback on this topic later, I am sure.
That's right. If you couldn't get through today, do send us an email.
You're on Life Matters with me, Hilary Harper, here on RN.